Ministries of Living Waters Church.
Welcome to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. On today's broadcast, we'll discover truth from God's Word that brings freedom. So grab your Bible as we join Pastor Dwight now for today's message.
Matthew chapter 9, are you ready for the word of the Lord? Glory to God. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus stepped into a boat and he crossed over and came to his own hometown. And some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." He didn't say nothing about lameness, no infirmity, did he? He said, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, they were thinking it, just murmuring whatever to themselves, "This fellow's blaspheming." They're thinking it. Knowing their thoughts, I want you to chew on that just a second. If he knows their thoughts, he probably knows your thoughts. I appreciate that he knows my thoughts. Pastor, you ever have thoughts you shouldn't have? Yes. And he knows every one of them. And when I have them, he so wonderfully points them out to me so that I can adjust myself. Because bad thoughts become bad beliefs. Bad beliefs become bad actions. Bad actions become bad lives. Not just for the person, not just for the bad actor, but for people around them. You know, there are a lot of people that are affecting our lives right now that they have wrong thoughts, wrong beliefs, wrong actions. And some of them are in positions of authority, and because of that, our lives are affected. But Jesus knows every thought, and he's working. He really is. So Jesus knew their thoughts. And so he responded, verse 5, "Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you know that the Son of Man," that's a title for the Messiah, "so that you know the Messiah has authority," has what, church? "Authority here on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take up your mat and go home." And the man got up and went home. Hallelujah. How many know when Jesus says it, it doesn't matter what it is. If Jesus said it, that settles it. The man got up and went home. Now, when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such what? Authority to men. See, they perceived Jesus to be a rabbi, a teacher. Even though he used the title, and the Jews went berserk because he invoked the title Son of Man, and they knew what he meant. They knew that he was claiming to be the long-awaited Jewish Messiah. They didn't realize that he was, but they knew he was claiming to be that. Because they didn't really believe he was that, it upset their apple cart in a big way. I like how The Chosen portrays this. If you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, just go watch season 1, 2, and 3, 24 episodes, and you'll see this in one of those episodes. Season 2. I'm not kidding about that. You would do yourself a great favor to go watch. Go binge Jesus. Is it perfect? Maybe not, but I'm going to tell you this. I've been blessed by it. And the Holy Spirit, who I'm real tight with, me and him are tight. I try to never do anything that upsets him. I do things that do upset him, and he's so tight with me, he tells me about it. And then I say, "I'm sorry," and he says, "It's all right, I forgive you. Now let's continue our fellowship." I say, "All right." He'd never told me not to watch The Chosen. There have been quite a few times he's led me to do it, and my old flesh goes, "We don't want to watch that." And I go, "Shut up, flesh. I want to watch something. Just I want to watch travel shows. I want to watch food. I want to watch food." You ever notice how your flesh wants to watch food shows? I'm like, "I can't watch that right now. I'm trying to eat better. I don't need to watch Bubba make homemade beignets." Some dude the other day was making homemade beignets. I'm like, "I can't watch that. It's bedtime. I don't need that. I would probably be going in there trying to find me some Twinkies and drop them in the air fryer or something." you know, homemade beignets. I got homemade something, you know, but don't cater to the flesh. I'm just going to give in to it. Just this is it. No, you're not. You're training that flesh that if it pulls a little fit, you'll give it whatever it wants. Don't listen to your flesh. Flesh will take you where you don't want to go. Amen. Get a hold of it. See, I can't control my flesh. Why are you lying? You can't control your flesh. You can if you put Jesus in charge. Amen. I better preach the sermon I'm supposed to be preaching instead of the one you need to be hearing. Oops. Did anybody need to hear what I've been saying? Will you raise your hand if you needed to hear it? Oh, yeah, I got to get mine up too. That's what we try to do around here. I could have just opened up my notebook this morning at home and preached to you all those notes that I got that I haven't used. Because I get up here and I just start speaking to you out of my heart and let the Holy Spirit take us where He wants to go. Amen. But He did take me here. And Jesus said, I want you to know that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins as well as heal. And the people responded after this healing. They said, wow, God has given such authority to this teacher. That's what we're talking about, authority. Look at Matthew 9:35 now, same chapter. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, teaching. You want to know why He taught them? Because they needed to learn. Amen. Teaching in their synagogues, preaching. That's not the same thing. Preaching is declaring. Teaching is unveiling. He went through there teaching them and declaring, revealing the good news of the kingdom and doing what else, church? Latter part of verse 35, what did Jesus go around doing? Healing every sickness. Yes. Every disease. Yes. Every sickness and disease. Yes. Not the same thing. Some sicknesses are not diseases. Some diseases, a doctor wouldn't classify it as a sickness. There are spiritual diseases. There are spiritual sicknesses. And somebody said, well, you know that scripture in the Bible, Isaiah 53, about Jesus and by His stripes we were healed? That's talking about your spirit, brother. That's talking about how Jesus died to forgive your sins. That's all. I'm like, that's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that Jesus went about doing good, Acts 10:38, and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He did it to glorify God. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What's that mean? So Jesus said, let me show you what God's like. You need healing. Let me heal you. You need deliverance. Let me deliver you. If you come across someone who's a doubter and they think, well, Jesus won't just heal anybody that asks. Question, based on what do you make that statement? You can't say based on the Word of God, Jesus don't heal them all. You can say, based on my personal experience, yes, I'll agree with you all day long. On personal experience, I could agree with that too, that they don't always get healed. Amen. Do you want to live by the first book of brother's experience, or do you want to live by the Word of God? I want to live by the Word of God. I'm striving to live in my covenant with Jesus, having everything that He says I have. How many of you know that if you had a bank account, you're somebody, some distant relative of yours, and opened an account when you were a baby and put money in it, and then every other relative you had not around, you got disinherited somehow, some way, you disowned. But here's this account, and you got it. Come to find out it's got millions of dollars in it. You don't know about it. People tried to tell you. They heard about it. They heard about this magnificent account, and it's open to you, and it's got everything you need in it. How many know money can't buy everything? You know, even the Beatles knew money can't buy you love. And them guys, you know, they weren't getting it out of here, right? Money can't buy everything. But God, our Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, has provided us everything we need for life and godliness. You say, why don't I have it then? That's a very good question. I cannot answer that question. God can. Will He answer that question to you? Maybe. Are you even asking Him? Sincerely and honestly, are you crying out? Is there something in your life that you feel like God's holding it back from you? But the Bible says he has freely given us all things through Christ. The Bible says by his stripes you were healed. Well, if you were, you probably are. Amen. The Bible says you were forgiven. So I don't feel forgiven. That doesn't mean you're not. Have you asked for forgiveness with a sincere and open heart? Yes. Well, then he forgave you. See, but I don't feel forgiven. Doesn't matter. You are, as far as he's concerned. But how many of you know this? If I don't believe what he says and act like I believe what he says, I'm using forgiveness for my example, but you see, somebody messes up, right? They're mad, got a lot of pain going on, right? They just, they mess up. They come before the Lord. Oh, Father, I'm so sorry for that. I'm so ashamed. Please forgive me. What does God say he does? 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just, and he will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Yes, yes, yes. If we confess, that means I own up to it. Yes. It doesn't mean I confess that they made me do it and I'm not responsible. That's not confessing. That's passing the buck. Confessing is where you admit that I have no one else to blame. I can't blame the devil. I can't blame nobody. It was me. I chose wrongly. And I'm sorry. Now, how hard is that? I'll tell you what. For me, personally, you may not like what I'm about to say, but for me personally, that's so easy it'd make you want to throw up. It's so easy for me to confess my faults and sins and shortcomings to God and ask him for forgiveness and just walk on like it didn't happen. It's easy for me because I believe what he said. I believe with every fiber of my being, and I've been acting like I believe it for a long, long time. God does not like it when you beat yourself up. Jesus got beat up on your behalf. And you trying to do some sort of penance and pay God back by being remorseful and sorrow and beating yourself up or depriving yourself. That's not helpful at all. The enemy loves it. He loves it when you punish yourself. But if you believe what God said and you ask for forgiveness, you know it's already done. Listen, if we all walked out of here today and every one of us did something stupid or rebellious and we all needed forgiveness, that was a pretty good little group of us here. You suppose Jesus would have to come back to earth, be whipped and beaten and scourged and crucified again and buried in a tomb and descend into hell for 3 days and rise again? Would he have to do it all over? Why not? Can you explain to me why you say he wouldn't have to do that all over again, Pastor? Why not? It's already done. I'll quote him. It is finished. And when he rose from the dead and he appeared resurrected to his disciples, he said, behold, all power and authority is given unto me. And then he transferred it to his church. That means if he could do it, we could do it. See, I don't know about that, Pastor. John 14:12, I tell you the truth, Jesus said, anyone, is that you? Are you an anyone? I believe you are. That means you. Anyone who has faith in me. Oh, there's a qualifier. Faith in me. He didn't say anyone who believes in me. There are a lot of people believe in Jesus, don't have any faith in him whatsoever. Think of it like a parachute. Do you believe parachutes exist? Yes. Will you strap one on and jump out of a plane? No. Why not? Because you don't have faith in a parachute. You believe in a parachute, but you don't have faith in it. A lot of people believe in Jesus, but they don't totally, completely trust Jesus.
We hope you're being blessed and encouraged as Pastor Dwight shares this inspiring teaching from God's Word today. And would like to take a moment to thank you for listening and invite you to reach out to us here at the Truth Broadcast. It would be our honor to stand in faith with you in prayer about any need you have and to rejoice with you for the wonderful things God is doing in your life. You can contact us by email at thetruthbroadcast@yahoo.com, find us on Facebook, or by calling or texting us at 580-665-9866. We would also like to invite you to sow into this ministry of God's Word by sending your offering of support
to P.O. Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma, 73624. Your seed will help us reach and teach as many people as possible with the truth of God's Word. Thank you again for your prayers and support. Now let's join Pastor Dwight for the rest of today's message.
He said, anyone, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith, who clings to, relies on me, that's an amplified version, he will do what I've been doing. What had he been doing? He'd been going around teaching people about what God was like. He'd been proclaiming that God is here with us now, and he was healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils. He even went on and said this. He said, he'll do even greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. What does his going to the Father have to do with us doing greater works than what he did? We can get people born again. Before he died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, people couldn't get born again. Having the Holy Spirit living on the inside, can you, as a born again Christian, member of the body of Christ, not member of a church, you can be a member of a church and be lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I really believe this. There'll be more church people miss heaven than make heaven. I believe that. You know why I believe that? Because Jesus said in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. First of all, you got to have love for it to grow cold. People that never knew the Lord, he's not talking about them. He's talking about the church. And he said in the last days, the love of most will grow cold. Most is at least 51%. Can't be anything less than 50%. See, well, I'm going to pray about that. I'm going to pray for the church that the church won't have that happen. You can pray till your face falls off, but it's not going to change. Jesus didn't say this is how it would be unless you pray. He said this is how it's going to be. You say, well, that's not very exciting, Pastor. Well, it ought to be because you don't have to be one of them. It's not predetermined by what family you were born into or what your education level is or what you have or haven't got or what you did or didn't do. If you've been blessed with the opportunity to hear the gospel, and if you've ever heard me more than 5 minutes, you've heard the gospel. I'm telling you in all of your flaws, that God loves you because he has grace through Jesus Christ that covers all those flaws. Now, that doesn't mean you go out and flaunt your flaws. If you like to live in sin, you want to live in sin, you're not saved. You're not born again. Don't deceive yourself into believing that you're going to heaven because you're not. If you don't love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, you've missed the thing that you were born for. But you can't love God when you're separated by sin. Because every time you start to make a move toward him, your sin reminds you that you're dirty and he's not. The only way I come into a covenant relationship with him as my Father is that I let Jesus cleanse me and be my living sacrifice and I become his living sacrifice. Now that's the gospel. You surrender to Jesus. See, you are forgiven. Everyone's forgiven. But you must receive it. You must take it by faith. By having faith in Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, you appropriate that forgiveness that was bought and paid for before you were born. I mean, you might feel old, but you ain't that old. Over 2,000 years ago, he paid the price. I was born with my forgiveness completely paid for. But until... Now you say, what about when you were a little kid? When I was a little kid, I believe God's grace covered me because I was little, I didn't know anything, and I don't see God as a condemner of a little child who hasn't had the opportunity to make a choice yet. But buddy, at whatever point you're mature enough in your life, and you could be 6 years old like that girl was, and hear Billy Graham preach a gospel and respond and be saved, or you could be older than that, be a teenager and know you're lost as a goose like this one did. But at some point in our lives, if you've heard the gospel and you're ready to respond by turning away from your old life and receiving Jesus, that's when you receive that gift that was laid up for you before you were born. God doesn't decide by the moment whether or not he would forgive this one and that one and the other one. If we repent, no matter what we've done, and we turn to the Lord Jesus, and by faith, we receive what this Bible says we have through Jesus. It becomes ours. We've got to appropriate it. He has the authority to forgive us. And He has the authority to heal us. Spiritually, mentally, financially, physically. But in order for His authority to have authority in my life, I have to be under His authority. Amen. Luke 9, please. Luke 9. Turn there in your Bible. Luke 9. Aren't you glad you go to a church where we preach the Bible? Verse 1. Did I give you time to get there? I like pages turning. When Jesus called the 12 together, He gave them authority to drive out all demons, cure diseases. Who was going to go cure diseases? The apostles. Can anybody name some of the apostles? Can you name any of them? John, Thaddeus. Sharon got one of them obscure ones. John, James, right? We know, right? Did anybody say Judas? Did anybody say that one? Why didn't you include Judas? Because he's the one that betrayed Jesus, man. Don't you know nothing, preacher? I know quite a bit, but listen. When He had called together the 12, including Judas Iscariot, and He gave them all power. The Chosen portrays it that way, don't they? They send Judas out with Peter. Now, Peter would keep him in line or get him in trouble, but either way. I like the way they portrayed it. Because even though it blows my mind, Judas cast out devils. Judas laid hands on the sick and the sick recovered. Judas healed diseases. Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of Jesus Christ? Yes. He was not the betrayer then. If he was, he wouldn't have been given that authority. Where are you going, Pastor? See, I can have the authority of Jesus Christ to heal the sick and cast out devils and do the works that Jesus did. But if I don't stay under His authority, if you think that Judas Iscariot is the only one who can turn his back on Jesus, you must be living in a fog somewhere. I've got to stay under His authority to have His authority. If I want His authority operating in my life, I have to do the things that keep myself under the authority of Jesus. Do you know what sin is? Sin is when you step outside His authority. You ever sin? Be honest. You ever sin? Here's the thing. When you sin, you're stepping out from under His authority. I didn't say you lost your salvation. I'm not going there. His salvation's way deeper than that. You have to reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because He's not going to reject you. But I'll say this, if you step outside His authority and keep stepping outside His authority and keep stepping outside of His authority and keep stepping outside, your heart's getting harder and harder and harder and harder. Harder for you to hear the voice of the sweet Holy Spirit telling you, turn around, turn around, turn around. It becomes dimmer and dimmer, duller and duller. I can sin 100 times before I'm not saved. No, there's not a set line. But if you keep telling Jesus, no, no, I'll have it my way, Jesus. I'll have it my way, Jesus. You're putting yourself in authority. You're taking His authority away. The devil don't care. Honestly, he don't care if you worship him as long as you don't worship Jesus. The devil will let you put you on the throne because he knows where you'll wind up at if you're on the throne of your life. It won't be heaven. If Jesus is not Lord, come on, Lord, King, ruler. So at some point, if I just go off there and sin and sin and sin and sin, I'm making my heart harder and harder and harder. How do I know? If I willfully go sin, the Bible talks about willful sin. Hebrews 10:26. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive knowledge of the truth, no sacrifice for sins is left. Who's he writing this to? What's the title of this book? Not Bible, the other title. Hebrews. He's writing it to the Hebrews. They're Jewish. They keep the law of the Hebrews. How do you get rid of sin if you were a Hebrew? You go make an animal sacrifice. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we receive knowledge of the truth about Jesus, he said, you can't turn around then, reject Jesus, go sacrifice animals. There remains no more animal sacrifice for your sin. It's Jesus or nothing. You want to know what willful, deliberate sin he's talking about? Show that in the King James before we move on. Willful. That means you thought about it and decided to do it anyway. I'm not talking about something where it's just, boy, all of a sudden I just did something I didn't even see it coming. that's not the sin he's talking about. He's talking about a sin that is a thought through, willful, deliberate lack of submission to the authority of Jesus. Willful, deliberate. I'm setting you up, I promise you. You're gonna love me. You have to. It's a commandment. We're in the same boat. The Lord's preaching to me as he's preaching through me. Willful, deliberate. I thought about it. I had a chance to choose. I chose the wrong thing on purpose. Willful sin. Everybody say willful sin. Would anybody like to know what willful sin he's talking about in particular? Because there is something in particular he's talking about. I mean, I think it applies to all willful sin, right? He says, don't drink that. You go, I don't hear that. You say, you bless everything I put my hand to. I'm putting my hand to this beer. They don't work like that, Padre. You know, it don't work like that. You know, I'm offering offerings to the Lord, burnt offerings. I have a card that says I can do it. Well, you better back up. That ain't no burnt offering to the Lord. That's not the willful sin he's talking about. It's something that hits way closer to home than those things. You ready for it? Say, I'm ready. He loves me. He says, if we willfully sin after coming to knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifices for our sin, but only a certain and fearful judgment that is meant for the adversaries of God. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, as the habit of some is. Put it in the NIV again. So, Pastor, make up your mind. I made up my mind a long time ago. I'm with Jesus. Let us not give up meeting together, even on Wednesday, as some are in the habit of doing. I didn't look at nobody, did I? But let us encourage one another. That means you got to encourage me, and I got to encourage you. That's what the purpose of meeting together is for us to encourage one another. And if I'm not there to encourage you, you might get discouraged. And if you became discouraged because I chose to willfully sin by not being at the meeting and you got discouraged and you got overcome, I might have a small, little, bitty, tiny portion of the burden of the responsibility to bear. I didn't say if you don't show up every time the doors are open, you're going to hell. I didn't say that at all. But I'm going to tell you something straight up because I love you, and if you get mad at me, then so be it. Those empty chairs are not encouraging. I'm not beating you up. I'm trying to lift you up. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads if you would. Heavenly Father, I believe there may be someone listening to us. They say, you know, you talked a lot about God and his benefits and the covenant and being saved and not being saved. And I don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know where I stand with God. I remember being there, and it's a scary place to be. And it's not where God wants you to be. He wants you to know for sure that you're his child, born again, blood bought by Jesus Christ, saved, set apart, and that every promise in this word belongs to you. You say, I don't know that I know that. You can change it if you will surrender to him. Pray a prayer of surrender and mean it from your heart, and God will change your life. Every journey begins with the first step. Pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. The Heavenly Father, I surrender myself to you this day. Lord Jesus, Lord over me, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from everything that's not right. I give you my mind that you might heal it. My spirit that you may lead me. My soul for your salvation. My body for your service. Heal me in every way. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Truth Broadcast with Pastor Dwight Shepherd. If you prayed with Pastor Dwight, let us know. We would love to hear about God working in your life as we continue to pray for you. So send your prayer requests, praise reports, or financial support to The Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 142, Burns Flat, Oklahoma 73624. You can connect with us by email at truthbroadcast@yahoo.com. So, until next time, continue in the Word and let the truth of God's Word set you free.
The Truth Broadcast program is sponsored by the generous support of our partners and friends and by the ministries of Living Waters Church.